Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I'm delighted to see everyone that is here. I'm especially delighted to see the bell choir. Yes, why don't we applaud them? You want to applaud them right now? See, we love you before we've heard a single note. It is good to have the bell choir with us, and there are a couple of new people in the bell choir. First of all, we have Krista, who has joined choir, so we're glad to have you with us. And we are especially glad to have Cassandra Scott, who is the director. We have a director again for the bell choir. Yes. And just a few things about Cassandra. She's married. She has 4 children and 5 grandchildren. She has a musical background. Music has been a part of her life since she was very young. And she loves to make a joyful noise. She says music evokes so many emotions and that she's glad to be here. And we are glad to have you with us. So welcome, Cassandra. We do have a few announcements. The volunteers for Food Pantry this week are Kathleen and Ron McPhee and Peggy Bjerke. We have Bible study here on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and Bell Choir will be rehearsing at 1 o'clock. And what really makes me excited is that Bell Choir will be joining me next week when I go to Amy Holt, and I know that they are delighted. If anyone wants to come along with us to Amy Holt and just sing along with music or interact with the residents, we'd be delighted to have you. The service there will begin at 1:15. So if you want to just come on over around 1 o'clock or 1:15, and that is next Sunday. So we are assigned there the third Sunday of the month. So I'd always love to have people come and join me. They like to see kids. Just hint, hint. Do we have any other announcements? If not, I invite you to pause for a moment and focus your attention on our Lord, and then listen as the bell choir performs, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Thank you very much to the Bell Choir for blessing us with Great is Thy Faithfulness, a reminder of God's constant love for us. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 803. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us, by the inspiration of your Spirit, to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah 5:1-7. God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, it shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And now let us read responsibly Psalm 80:7-15. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
We have brought a lion out of Egypt. We cast out the nations and
You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. You stretch out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. The second reading is from Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, yet under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss, because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss, because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ." Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized the slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon?
Anyone know this one?
And those who could left. And the rest said, we sank everything that we had into the land here. And there's no place for us to go. And those are the people who built our church. Those are the people who decided that St. Luke's was going to come into existence. And so I was reading through the history, and it's really amazing when you look at it. How initially, all that could be done was the basement. And that they had to use shovels and picks. And there's a comment here that this church really is built on solid ground, on stone. And any of you who've dug in your garden know what they're talking about, don't you? Lots and lots of stones. And apparently one of those stones is what we see outside the church here that was unearthed as the addition was being built. But I was looking at the cornerstone, because we have a mention of a cornerstone in our gospel lesson. Have you ever looked for the cornerstone of this church? Is it where you would expect a cornerstone to be? For me, no, it wasn't. I expected the cornerstone to be on the very corner. But it turns out when the first part of this church was built, they didn't put in a cornerstone. And instead, when they built this part, and they finally had the money in order to build this structure that we have right now, that's when they put in the cornerstone. And you'll find it. If you go around, you'll be able to see it. It's marked with dates. So you can go and look for that and see where the cornerstone is. And they put objects that they considered important or historical into the cornerstone. Now, I don't know if there's a plan to unearth that in decades from now, but if you were to put something important into a cornerstone, what would you put? What would you put in there that you would consider important? Okay. How about the rest of you? What would you put in that you would consider important? A letter to the congregation of the future? Some of the
great hymns of the church where we say that we build on Christ, that Christ is our foundation. Have you ever tried to build a building or build something out of blocks? What is the first thing that you do? You make a base. Why do you make a base for it? Exactly. So you make a base so that it doesn't tip over and fall. And when you start building the walls, you just build them any which way? You have to build them square. Okay, that's exactly right. And if you think of our church, not just building, but the church as the people of God, that's what we have to do too. We have to have that solid base, and we have to have Christ as our cornerstone, and build everything solid. And that's what we stand upon, is our solid faith. So think of Christ as the foundation of our church. He's the base. He's the cornerstone. And God has built our church, not just the walls of this building, but the people. And with that sort of foundation, we're not going to tip over, are we? All right, let us pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we thank you for the solid foundation that we have. We thank you for those people who had the tenacity to build this physical building, to dig out that basement, and to persevere so that they could build the walls and build the roof and later build the addition. But what they built on more than just stones and cement and wood was that they had built on you and your word. And knowing that in that cornerstone is your word in Danish and in English is a reminder that your word gives us the strength that we need. That you are the solid foundation. And with that, no matter what happens, we will not tip over. And we thank you for that.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Jesus began his parable, he said, "Listen to another parable. Here goes another story about the kingdom of God." And he said, "There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower." What does this sound like? Our first reading from Isaiah, doesn't it? And that's exactly what the people would have remembered. As soon as he started talking about this, they will remember that familiar image from the prophet Isaiah about the vineyard and the care that's taken of the vineyard, how the stones are dug out, how a wine press is built, a watchtower is established. So that's the image that they have in their mind. And they will remember what happened in that story of Isaiah. That the owner of the vineyard takes such great care. And when he goes to collect the produce, what does he get? Can you imagine, as you're about to put what you think is going to be a delicious grape that's going to burst into your mouth with that sweetness of fruit, and you put it in your mouth and you bite down on it, and instead of that sweet juice, you get that awful, and you realize that everything you've done is wasted. That crop is not going to be good for anything. That wine press is not going to be used. You're not going to be pressing those grapes. They are absolutely worthless. And so the people have that image in their mind. But Jesus takes the story in a different direction. In our gospel lesson, he has no issue with the grapes that are being produced. This is probably instead a wonderful crop. The problem that he has is with the people who are running the vineyard, the tenants. Because they are supposed to be working for the owner of the vineyard. And when the owner asks for his rent, which is the majority of the produce, he's supposed to get it, right? It's like if you need to pay your mortgage, you pay it. If you pay your rent, what happens if you don't pay your rent? You get kicked out. That's exactly what happens. So he sends his servants to ask them to pay what needs to be paid. And instead of paying it, they beat the servants. They stone them. They kill one. And instead of kicking them out then, the owner sends more servants. And they ask, give us the rents, give us the produce. And they're treated the same way. And then the owner says, why don't I send my son? Surely they will have respect for my son. And what did they do? Did they show any respect for the son of the owner? No. Instead, they drag him out of the vineyard and they kill him. Because they say, look, here is the heir. And if we kill him, we get everything. The owner must be sending these servants and then sending his son because he's dead or he'd come himself. So that means if he's dead and this guy is the heir, if we kill him, then who is left to be sent? And we'll just have it all for ourselves. And of course, the owner isn't dead. So he sent his son, and his son is killed, and they ask, so what's going to happen when the owner comes around? And the people say, well, of course, he is going to put them to death, and he's going to give this place to people who will actually give him the produce when it's harvest time. And Jesus says, oh, okay, do you understand what you've just said? Do you understand what I've just said? Because what is he really referring to in this parable? Who are the servants who've been sent out and treated so badly? They are the prophets. They are the prophets that were sent out with the message of God, and the people didn't listen to them. And this is what happened to the prophets. That some of them were stoned, some of them were beaten, some of them were killed. The people wouldn't listen. And God sent more, and the people wouldn't listen. And God sent more, and the people wouldn't listen. And then, who is sent? Jesus, the Son, is sent. Surely they will listen to the Son. And what happened? We crucified him. We don't seem to get it, do we? Because why aren't we listening? Why is it that we treat the vineyard as though it belongs to us rather than to God? And that's really the question here. Why do we not give to God what belongs to God? Why do we treat it as though it belongs to us? And here, this is specifically directed to the religious authorities. And they realize that Jesus is talking about them. And that what he is saying is, you have not listened to my message. You have not heard what I have said about God and God's kingdom. And therefore, others are going to come after you. And we know them to be the apostles, the disciples, all of those who to this day continue to proclaim God's message to the world. But the question really is, do we give back to God what belongs to God, or do we want to hang on to it as though it belongs to us? Do we fail to understand that God is the one who's given us absolutely everything? And when harvest time comes, expects us to give what belongs to God. And I know I don't want to be one of those wicked tenants in the story. I want to do what I can to make sure that when God asks for what God is entitled to receive from me, that I give it back. And I'm not always so good about that. I don't know about you, but I like to hoard some things from myself, to not always be as generous with my time and my talent, my treasure, as I should be. Because who does it really belong to? Do I really own anything? When I die, can I take any of it with me? No, it all belongs to God. So that's our message today, is that God is the owner of the vineyard, and we're just the tenants who are working that vineyard. And we tend our vineyard well, and we can produce such wonderful and abundant fruit. And do we produce that fruit for the sake of the world? If God asks us to spread his message, that fruit, to the world, do we do it? And so what is God's love song? Jesus loves me. That's exactly it. That's God's love song to us, because we fail all the time. We have great intentions and we fail. And God doesn't destroy us. God doesn't send us into exile. God forgives us. God sent us Jesus. And Jesus is that love song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that when we fail, God still loves us. God still loves us. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Because whose love can, who can outlove God? let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all in need.
God of all grace, you are the source of life and joy. Strengthen the resolve of your Church throughout the world, that together we press on toward the goal of your heavenly call in Jesus Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all creation, you plant and nourish the earth as your own precious vineyard. Bless fields and orchards and the hands of those who labor in them, that your people are fed with an abundant harvest of good fruit. God of grace, hear our prayer.
God of all the earth, you desire peace and justice between nations and peoples. Guide leaders of nations, states, provinces, and cities, that they faithfully govern your people with wisdom, integrity, and compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all compassion, in Christ you lovingly poured yourself out like wine for your people. Have mercy on all who mourn, who struggle with their mental health, who cry out for justice, who hunger, and all in any need, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all steadfastness, you set Christ as the cornerstone and foundation of the Church. Build up this congregation as living stones, that it stands in the community as a witness to your enduring faithfulness and love. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all hope, the saints who came before us lived and died with their hearts fixed on you. We give you thanks for their faithful witness, and we wait with hope for the great day when we join their voices in praise. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of this church with your tithes and your offerings.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the land. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be your world, signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you go out into the world to proclaim the love of God, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our sending song, Divinely Amen, number 8.